It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 683. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at MikeTechShow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, and you can go directly to InstantHouseCall.com. One of the greatest things about Instant House Call that came into play yesterday, where we had not a lot of snow, but it was icy, had like 4 or 5 inches, but it was the ice that was coming down that made driving treacherous. So I had a lot of clients cancel a lot of work for yesterday, and then we had to fill that in now for the next few days. But creating sub accounts and selling them to your clients to be able to remote in is not only a good revenue stream, but it helps with your clients being able to remote into their own desktop. And they will only see where you've assigned them access. And I had two clients that hadn't used it in a while that called me and said, Mike, can you walk me through? I want to connect into the office. It's been a while since I used Instant House Call. So I helped them get connected. That was some of the things I was doing in the morning helping clients. But that's a great feature that you don't want to forget about, that sub accounts. Tonight's show, I have 4 problems that I was working on last Thursday that caused me to cancel the show. And then I was going to do work on Saturday, and I was so tired and wiped out from work I was doing on Saturday. With all of that, there was no way I was able to get a show in. So we're going to talk about a Windows folder sync problem that has occurred, what I tried and it didn't work. I need your help on this. GoDaddy account hack. That's what I spent most of the time with on Thursday. And then Mojave update problems. Had 2 problems that I had to work with. It killed printer drivers. An OST file limit. I had to quickly help purge email because of the file limit for an OST file. We'll explain what that is. That's just some of the topics. Power outage that took out a UPS, and that's what I was doing on Saturday. And then new opportunities for some clients on Friday and then on Monday. So I'm waiting to hear back from one, and I've already got a meeting this Saturday for another. So I've been very, very busy. And at the same time, I am nursing a real bad cold where I have been coughing my head off. So I'm drinking some tea right now, and I've been just guzzling cough syrup and trying to do what I can. If you hear little interrupts here, I will be pausing throughout the show as the coughing fits happen. So right now I'm feeling pretty good. So let's see. Before we get started, we're really making great progress on the conference, TechCon Unplugged. It is September 20th through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Link will be in the show notes for you to get your tickets now. We are finalizing the speakers, the schedule, and the presentations. There's going to be great sessions on network troubleshooting and administration, how to get started with managed services, how to run a successful IT business part-time. Should you hire employees? What's it like one man versus multi-man shop? How to manage that? This is just a taste of what you can be experiencing at this conference. I will be there. Go to the website. It is techconunplugged.com and check out all the information and sign up. I look forward to seeing you there. Let's begin with some of the problems from last week. Thursday, I got hit with the following. My client, who has this massive offline folder synchronization, he's Windows 10. It's a domain controller. It's a Windows 2008 R2 server. He has to have these offline folders sync, and it's about 600 gig. The main shared folder directory under a subfolder, let's say called HR, then there's an employee folder. He called me because he says, Mike, there's now an EMPLOY-3. He said, I was seeing that. I tried to delete everything in there, and now everything's deleted in the original employee folder. I'm like, what? I log in, and he's right. And I got to restore from the cloud this directory right on the server. And when you go back to his desktop or his laptop, I log in, and when I delete this folder that is not the employee folder, everything deletes in the employee folder. It's somehow this other folder got created and is linked to another folder. Here's what's really strange. I disabled offline folders thinking, okay, let's disable that, reboot, took a few minutes, and then restarted and reestablished the offline folders for just two map drives. The folder came back, but yet it's not on the server. So here is my question. How can I disable offline folders and purge whatever is lingering and still stored from the sync? Because I think that's where the trouble is. And it's one of those subdirectories that holds all this. How can I absolutely purge all of the synchronization that's on this laptop and then freshly begin a new sync? Because I also have another problem. He has a QuickBooks file that keeps syncing, yet we're not syncing it anymore. I don't understand. So there's definitely a problem between the sync and the host, and disabling it and re-enabling it did not fix the problem. So I need some master help with offline folder synchronization. I could really use it. And reach out to me, please, miketechshow@gmail.com. Second problem. And this was important because the user had to get some important emails out. So I get a call, Mike, I can no longer send and receive mail. So the first thing I do is I make sure the user can send and receive from OWA, from online, Outlook web access. And he can. It's Outlook. He has Outlook 365, so that's Outlook 2016. Since it's Exchange hosted, I looked at the size of the OST file. In Outlook 365, you have a 50 gig limit to an OST file and a PST. His OST hit 50 gig, and that's it. You hit 50 gig, you're done. You're not sending or receiving mail. We had to purge mail, and this is a pack rat. So this took some time. So I created an archive folder, got an agreed upon time reference that I could go back and get archive, let it move to the PST file, and we finally whittled it down to a comfortable 19 gig, his OST. This took a couple hours, and then he could send and receive email. But just something to be aware of, you have a 50 gig limit, and when your clients start hitting that, you have to teach them how to archive their email. And I don't even feel comfortable with 19 gig, and especially a PST, because if something goes wrong with a PST and you got to run that scan PST repair program to fix a problem, that can take forever on a large PST. You want to keep your PSTs to a manageable size and have them named properly in a folder that is being regularly backed up so you can organize all of the PSTs for your client. Maybe there's things he doesn't even need attached, only if there's an emergency, and you teach him how to attach a data file to Outlook. Same night, client calls me, Mike, we have a problem, and I believe it's with GoDaddy. They are an Exchange-hosted client with Sherweb, but somebody created an Office 365 fake account and changed their MX records. This is a title insurance company where Friday, they have a lot of settlements happening. And this was noticed, thank goodness, late Thursday. And I have not accessed GoDaddy for their DNS changes for years. Haven't had to. They've been on Sherweb for a couple years. They don't make changes on a regular basis. Somebody got a hold of their information. And not only this, they put these dummy Yahoo email accounts for who owns the account. And the recovery account was fake. The owner of the company, working directly with GoDaddy and myself, we got everything cleaned up and organized and set. Here's the lesson. And I would never have thought of this as a possible hack for protecting your DNS. GoDaddy, you should have two-factor authentication. Now, this makes it a little more difficult for me if I ever have to do work for them, where I have to, and I'd rather this, have the owner where I need to connect and I'm using the login and password, and now the owner's getting a code that he has to give me on the phone immediately for me to get in. And he liked that because he has a web designer that works for the web. I do his IT, and that's what we're going to do now. We're going to work with the owner, and if we don't have access to him, well, we can't access the GoDaddy account. But it's something to be aware of something that you have to protect for your client, which is the DNS. That is the first time I have ever had a client, their DNS hacked from GoDaddy or even Network Solutions or anybody that hosts and you manage the domain in the DNS. The bad guys are getting better and better and better, and we have to step up the game to lock it down and prevent these kind of problems. Just keep that out there. And this actually plays into a really good link that I'm going to have here for tonight. And it's called Phishing Attacks, How to Protect Your Business and Users. Yes, it's a lot of propaganda for Untangle, but I want you to read this because it really gives you insight into making sure that you're doing everything you can to protect your client. And one of the major things is having a good perimeter firewall. And there's lots of, you got WatchGuard, you got SonicWall. I happen to like Untangle. And this is an article to help protect phishing attacks, which is another way of compromising client network access and employees who could fall prey to the phishing. Just something to have at the edge, at the perimeter, another obstacle to block it, to prevent it. And we want to put as many things as we can in place to block these attacks. So more on Thursday night. Two separate clients updated to Mojave on their iMacs. And both of them, it broke their printer drivers where they could not print anymore. We had to go download and reinstall the print drivers for printing and scanning to two printers, two totally different clients. The lesson here, don't upgrade unless you really have to, maybe because the one is not supported anymore. But there was no compelling reason for these clients to perform the upgrade. And I noticed Apple even did this to me on one of my systems where now they're prompting you to upgrade to the latest OS. They used to not really force that upon you. But my clients now, they clicked on it. They let it go through the upgrade, but you don't know what it's going to block. And they don't know. They don't know that they got to go through some due diligence and check. all the hardware that I'm using, will it work? Will it be compatible? Well, clearly we got driver's issues going to Mojave with printing. So it's something else to be aware of. And I know weeks ago, a while ago, when Mojave came out, it broke a lot of networking. And I gave some tips and tricks in a past show on how to fix that. Any new upgrade or operating system, it cannot work for everybody. It's going to break something. And that's where we get involved. And we got to figure out, okay, what do we do? Can we back it out? What's not working? Did the manufacturer load drivers? Now, I was lucky, it was HP and Mojave's 10.14, and they had drivers for that. And I was able to download them, test it. And I did all that via instant house call remotely and helping the two Mac clients. So, as a matter of fact, I sat here for hours on Thursday night just taking care of all of these problems. And then Friday, visited a new client that an opportunity that I've put a proposal together for different solutions and different hosted solutions and a different firewall solution. And this is a big company, so knock wood. And then also Monday, I had a great opportunity for a new dental office client that someone I know, they brought their son to the dentist, and the dentist was complaining about the slowness of the network, the slowness of his systems. And my friend, not missing a beat, saying, you need to talk to a friend of mine, Mike Smith. Now, I have to say this because this is the first time it's ever happened for a client. I send the email. He gives me his contact information. And when I call him, I leave a voicemail message because he was at lunch. He calls me back right away, as soon as he got my message. And he says, I have to ask you something. Are you the Mike Smith, the host of the Mike Tech Show? And I was just floored. And I said, yes. And he's like, I listened to your show. This is great. We didn't meet yet, but I was at the office doing an assessment of all the systems. And there's 20 computers and a server. We're meeting Saturday when his office hours are done at the dental office. We're meeting after that. And I can't wait to meet him. And I'm looking forward to hopefully a nice long relationship with a new opportunity that was pretty cool. So he might be listening tonight. This email is from Luis. Great last show. Very interested in your retainer info. Would you be able to share a copy of your retainer contract to get a better idea of what should be or is included? Thanks in advance. Now, for the language of the retainer contract, I couldn't really share. I gave an outline, but Luis wrote back and he said, it's really about what are you doing? So it's all about the scope of work. So in any of my contracts, I put what I'm going to do quarterly, which is my quarterly maintenance. I'm going to check for driver updates, make sure all Windows updates are happening. I'm going to check the hard drive. I don't get into the programs I'm going to use where I run Crystal Disk Info. We do a deep cleaning. We want to do quarterly maintenance. You communicate to the client, it's like changing the oil in your car, rotating your tires. The more preemptive things you do, the better your car is going to run. Treat all of your computer systems like that, and we want to do this quarterly. Are there backups that you're going to be monitoring? This is your opportunity in the scope of work to say you'll be monitoring nightly backup, weekly backup, online backups, whatever it is. So whatever you've discussed for the work that you're going to be doing, you list out in the scope of work. And I detail that, but I also put in there assistance with any IT projects as they occur. Just a kind of a catch-all that I'm going to be there to help with any new work or advice. So this way they look that it's not going to be so rigid where I'm only going to do those couple things that's listed in the scope of work. Keep it friendly. Keep it open where it opens the opportunity for more work. Then you got to have language that if we go beyond the hours of the contract, you can bill at this amount and this rate. This is what I recommend for the scope of work. You're going to add and subtract from that based on what you have already talked to your client about. but it's basically what you're going to be doing over a quarter. At least I do everything quarterly. A question in the chat. What do I think of Malwarebytes for the Mac? I love it. I use it all the time, and I recommend that all the time. If I come across a Mac and it doesn't have it, I download the free version, and then I'll sell them the new premium if they want that, or at least they'll be able to run with the trial version for a couple weeks. Next email is from Kate. Kate wanted to do a clean install of a system that had Windows 10, and she was afraid what happens when you're prompted for the Windows product key. It's a great question. Don't put anything, but you got to know, is it home or pro? Because when you create the using the media creation tool for Windows 10, it will install home or pro based on what you select from a menu. So you need to know first what is activated on that system, and then you pick accordingly. But don't put the key in. Once you connect to the internet, it'll auto-activate if it's already been activated. That's the one nice thing about Windows 10. Once you got an activation for that hardware, you could put a new hard drive, do a clean install, and it will activate. And I will tell you this. If you have a valid Windows 7 product key that has not been activated for Windows 10, and when you install Windows 10, let's say Windows 10 Pro, and you go to activate and you put the valid Windows 7 product key in, it will activate. Keep that in mind. This is from Eric. I've spent a lot of time researching and attempting to link Windows 10 computers on my local area network. Following the direction of others, I have ensured that if you go to settings and then network and internet network status, you should then click sharing option, ensure network discovery and printer sharing. Yes. And do that for all networks. He turned off password protection sharing and allowed media streaming options for all. In all the PCs, I then went to the local drive, right-clicked, give access to advanced sharing. I then went to security and allowed full access to the group everyone. I then clicked sharing and advanced sharing to share the appropriate folder or drive. After doing this, sometimes I can access the appropriate folder and drive and the other network LAN computers, and sometimes I can't. Some of the computers are always there under network and file explorer while others are not. I often run into that, and that I still am baffled sometimes of getting the appropriate listing of all the systems on the network. Here's one thing I always make sure. I know it's less important since Windows 7 came about and Windows 10. Make sure they're all in the same work group. And that's kind of old school from Windows XP, but make sure they're all in the same work group. And sometimes that helps with the listing of all the of what you're seeing on the network. But if you set all those file options to all be not only the permissions, but all of the networking, here's something else. Turn on SMB1 just in case. I'll get flack for this, but I like when I'm in the process of testing, I'll turn off the firewall. I'll turn off the antivirus for a second. While you're troubleshooting, put on SMB1. Does that help? Is the firewall blocking any of this? Double check to make sure you're sharing properly what you want to do through the firewall. Is your antivirus, does it have a LAN protection that it could be locking down? These are things to test, and I'll turn these things off and then turn them on one at a time to get them back because you don't want to be unprotected, unsecured. But for testing purposes, I kind of minimize everything, then start ramping up the protection and turning things on till it breaks, and then I know, okay, this is the issue that I got to fix with this particular application. I hope that helps, Eric. If you got suggestions, send them to me. And I'll pass them on to Eric, and I will read them. This is a Windows 10 reboot versus shutdown from Dean. I ran into a situation that I have not heard you talk about yet in regards to Windows 10 restarts. My wife took a job where she is now working from home. I also do computer consulting from my home. So I have become the first line of computer support for her home office. We were having a problem with her computer, and my first thought was to shut down and restart the computer. That did not fix the problem. So she called her company help desk. They told her to do a restart instead of a shutdown, and that fixed the problem. A little baffled by that, I had her ask why, and the tech on the phone said that a restart clears the memory where a shutdown does not. That goes against everything I have thought about computers dating way back. So I did some research. It turns out that in Windows 10, if you have fast startup enabled, the OS copies the memory to the hard drive before it shuts down. This way, when the computer reboots, it loads that memory and you get into Windows 10 faster. In the same way Hibernate works. I'm going to pause right there. I turn fast startup off. It's part of our procedure that we do, and maybe that's why I don't run into it as much. He continues, this was totally new to me, and since then have had to rethink my basic troubleshooting. Here are a couple supporting articles if you would like some additional information. And he has a How to Geek article, a superuser.com, and something from Bleeping Computer. Just wanted to pass along to any of your listeners that might be interested. Great info. This is the stuff I love. Dean, thank you for sharing that. Last email from Josh. Josh is in college and he has an IT project for one of his classes where he's doing an assessment of all the proper work for a project for automating a company and helping them out with all their different functions, designing the network, what applications they're going to need for the accounting. And I weighed in a little bit that I think it's important. One of the things I will never do is try to be something I'm not with a client. I may recommend a version of QuickBooks, but I can't set up the chart of accounts. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a bookkeeper. Don't be afraid to build in contacting an expert, or better yet, payroll services. We don't want to get involved maybe with that. Recommend an ADP or a Paychex or whoever that you might know for payroll services. Don't be afraid to engage an expert. Great example. We're going through a move right now with a company that my son was on site all day today with Comcast. And one of the things the client wanted us to do was move the phone system along with the networking. And I said, no, I don't know your phone system. We inherited this when you've had this phone system for years. I need you to contact the last company that you used for support with this phone system so they can help us migrate properly. And that's exactly what was happening today. We did a walkthrough where they determined that there would be this 389-foot line that has to be run from the service to the building to where their modem is going to be located. And they were supposed to have a contractor do this before the install of the internet service today. My son was on site. Comcast Installer came out. The line was never installed. Yet we called them yesterday and they told us that line was installed. Comcast lied to us. And when now the installer got there and said, the line's not there, luckily they rolled a contractor out to do the line. Now that took a few extra hours, but at least it doesn't impact the move. The phone was scheduled to be cut over today, so all the phones and the phone guy was there. He moved the system because they got a hold of a guy that actually sold his business to someone else. And so they got to the right person that could handle the phone system. We're taking care of the networking, taking care of the PCs, taking care of the server and the move of them. He's taking care of the phones. Right now, all the phones are up and running. Comcast installed. That was a long 6-7 hours today of making that all happen. And then tomorrow we're moving the network gear and the server. Then Saturday, the movers are moving the computers and all the desks. We're going to go back out Sunday to hook up the PCs. So the point of this, and to Josh's email, was engage the experts that you need. If a client asks me something about their financials and what help, we need a CPA to weigh in on this. Whatever's needed, don't be afraid to bring in. I don't like nor do phone systems unless it's voice over IP, and that's a little different, and then I got different recommendations. But if it's one of your traditional phone systems, let's get a phone expert or the phone guy that can handle this product to help us. And I know my clients respect that. They'll ask me first, and then I get to weigh in and say, well, I can do that or not, or let me take a look at the contract before you sign on the dotted line. I do a lot of that when it comes to phone agreements, where let me vet it, let me take a look at it and make recommendations. Even if it is a VoIP, I will point out things that they should ask or push back, or I want gig switch in the handsets. Do you want power over Ethernet, or do we want the AC adapter that connects to the phone? Very important to make sure you're being consulted and advising them of different recommendations, but maybe you're not executing everything. And do not be afraid to say, I got to look that up. I got to go find that out. And that's something I wanted him to build into the project, because he's not an expert on QuickBooks. Recommend it. Have the proper sizing for the system. Then you got to get an expert to be able to advise. I am not a person to change the oil in my car. I don't want to. Could I learn? Sure, but I don't want to. I'll take that to the proper place that can change my oil. I don't want to do that. I don't want to work on my car. I don't enjoy that. If you enjoy that, that's great. Do it. I don't enjoy that. Do what you know and then communicate. If you don't know, don't be afraid. You will gain the respect of your client. I know. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. To help support the show, use the Amazon link in the show notes. This is a link shared by Carrie Holzman and myself that when you click on it, then add the items you're buying to your cart. When you check out, we will get a small credit towards your purchase. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support myself and Carrie Holzman, Tech Vets, and the Mike Tech Show. Also, check out Instant House Call, especially on days when there's lots of snow and bad weather. Boy, that's great. And even then, I helped a client last night who is in Tampa, Florida, and I helped him with his Shadow Protect problems and helped him with getting a new antivirus all hooked up, and did that remotely yesterday using Instant House Call. It's allowed me to be able to reach and help more clients. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. We use this every week as we're migrating. We did it again this week, where we went from the Windows 7 to Windows 10 for a client. And we also upgraded them to a solid state drive, took out the drive, took out the original mechanical drive. After we got Windows 10 installed, then I used Fabs to move all of their email and information back. Tremendous. Great product. That's it. I hope to see everybody regularly now on Thursday nights. Last few weeks have been issues, and I've done some shows on Saturday. Now you understand why last Thursday night, basically this whole show was about, half the show was about all the problems I was working on. Doing my best to try to keep on schedule. Thank you so much, and I will see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.